So we'll start again on chapter 22. What's nice about this is that David HaMelech, he modified the one in Tehillim, but this was the song that he sang after he witnessed many miracles, had many ups and downs in his life. And when he was on the up, after he felt the divine help from Hashem, so this was the song that he sang. And so this is kind of meant to include many different things, many different salvation, many different miracles. One of the themes in prayer is that we all have miracles happen to us, and they happen every day. Sometimes we see them and sometimes we don't. And so there is an idea that at some that we need to have points in our life where we say thanks to Hashem, where we sing we're grateful, that we appreciate things, that we when these things happen, and there's certain times when it's appropriate. But a lot of the prayers on Rosh Hashanah are those kind of songs. Rather than focus on sin and what we've gotten stuck into, we focus on the holiness of Hashem and just grateful to be alive and to sing Hashem's praises and to be aware of the things that Hashem does. So let's see. Vayedaber David l'Hashem es divrei ha'shir hazos. And David said to Hashem, that's who he sang it to. It's interesting. He said the words of the song. He didn't sing the song. He said the words of the song. And when did he do it? B'yom hitzah Hashem osu mikaf kol oyav. On the day that Hashem saved him from all of his enemies. Now, there was no day. There were many days. But this was his song that he was... He was in the habit of being grateful. He was in the habit of being thankful. I know it's common that it's interesting with older people that many times they're grateful for each day, or they're grateful to be alive, and it's inspiring when you meet someone like that. They're just happy that they were able to get up, you know. And that's the way we feel. I don't know. Younger people feel that way too. I mean, you know. But it's rare to hear it from a younger person. The younger people, they just assume it's coming to them, you know. But older people, they know that not every day do you feel like getting up, and can you get up? And so David sang that song. And the day that he was saved from all of his enemies, and mikaf Sheol, and the day he was saved from Sheol. And so we talked about this, why Sheol is separate. Some people say Sheol was more dangerous than all of his enemies combined. Sheol chased after him. And it could be because it was an inside enemy. Sometimes an inside enemy hurts much more. This was his father-in-law that was after him. And Sheol was a righteous person. It hurts when a person's enemy is a good person. It's nice if a person's enemy is a bad guy. But sometimes you get an enemy who has a lot of good qualities, and that makes it very difficult to... So David sang this song when he was finally saved. But Yom Hashem. And this is what he said. And... saving takes on different forms. Sometimes Hashem is a sali, sometimes he's a rock, which means the missiles are falling and you just hide behind the rock and that saves you. Sometimes he's a mitsudasi, sometimes you're in a fortress, which is, that's a little more secure than a rock, a fortress. A fortress is, you're surrounded by walls and by a moat. And then sometimes you're saved, you run away. You're not safe where you are, not behind a rock, not in a fortress. You have to. So, different times he was saved in different ways. Sometimes it was a sally, it was a rock. Sometimes it was a fortress, and then sometimes he escaped. But no matter what the situation was, he was in danger and he survived, and so we thanked Hashem. Elokei Tzuri, God is my rock. And we were talking about this, that a person should be in the habit of realizing that Hashem is always there for him. Other things in life change, but Hashem is a rock. He's always there. Exavah, a person can take cover from other things, knowing that Hashem is a rock. Magini, Hashem is a shield. Hashem protects a person. We never know one of the things when a person brings the first fruits up to Yerushalayim, so he makes a declaration. It's also a time of thanksgiving, a time of a song. A person has gone through so much to get the crop to harvest, you know, to grow. He plowed and he planted and he watered and he harvested. And he is so happy. It finally is growing, so he says the declaration. And one of the things he mentions in the declaration is about how Laban tried to kill Yaakov. And they all ask, why do we go? Some people say you start from the beginning. If you're going to be grateful, be as grateful as you can be. So, you know, be grateful for everything. But other people point out that Yaakov didn't even know that his father-in-law was coming to kill him. What happened was his father-in-law was coming to kill him, and Hashem came to him in a dream and said, don't touch him. But here he was in danger, and he didn't even know it. You know, he thought his father-in-law might be mad at him, but he didn't know he was going to come to kill him. You know, so too Hashem saves us in ways that we're not even aware of. There are so many dangers that might have just passed over us. And we never even found out about it, and so we're grateful. Sometimes you read about it later, and it's like a person that misses a plane, and the plane crashes. Or there are many things in life that Hashem saves us from, and we're not aware of it. And so that's what we say to Hashem. He's our shield.
Carson says that in this booklet. She only learned a few years ago that she was on the last bus or whatever to safety.
Really?
They were back to the children.
It was the last train that the children. Amazing.
Her train was the last one. The other children can get out.
Wow.
Do you want to join us, dear?
And she only found out in recent...
Yeah.
That's fascinating, right? And so that's why we thank Hashem, because we know that He has our best in mind. The Keren Yishi, and he's the horn of my salvation. The animals, they're very proud of themselves. When the animals that have a horns, the horn is their sign of their strength. And so when they walk with their head held high and the horn, you know, way up in the sky, it's a kind of like a thanksgiving or a sign of he's the head of the deer or the group that's fighting. So when a person holds their head up high, when they hold up their horn, Miskabiyu Manosi, there's one view that there's 10 expressions of Savior because he had 10 enemies, if you count the number of people that came close to destroying David HaMelech. So he has 10 expressions. For each one, each challenge that he faced, Hashem saved him. And so that's what he says. Miskabi, Menusi, Moshi, Mechamas, Toshieni. Each one was a different kind of danger. Verse 4. Mahulo Echra Hashem. I sing songs of praise to Hashem. And because I praise Hashem, that's why I'm saved from my enemies. That's interesting. Because I'm grateful, because I sing Hashem's praises, that's going to save me. Verse 5. Now he describes, how do you know he had close calls? So David was, in a number of times, he was really, it was at the very end. It seemed like there was no hope. He was surrounded with the throes of death. We all know the Tehillim, right? Gam ki elech begeitz al mavis, even though I walk in the shadow of death. There's a tradition that David passed on to his sons, who were kings, that even if you feel the blade of the sword against your neck, which, you know, a sword just takes a second to cut, he said you never give up hope. And so David, a number of times, things looked very, very bad. It looks like he wouldn't come out alive, and Hashem saved him at the last moment. And so even though he's surrounded with death, Nachle Bliel, he's in a whole, like a river of people without a yoke. They surround me. A person sometimes feels like they're surrounded with people out there that are out to get him. Verse 6, Chevishol, bands of people, and those people all going to H-E-L-L, the people that are surrounded. Remember, the people that are just really surrounded by all kinds of people that are out to get him. Kadmuni Mokshe Mavis. And he came very close to death. But verse 7, B'tzar Li Ekra, it's never too late. Person sometimes convinces themselves, well, Hashem won't listen to me, it's too late for me, I don't deserve it, and they misunderstand Hashem. It's never, Hashem always listens to people. A person can always call out to B'tzar Li Ekra Hashem, but at the time of things are most difficult, that's when he called out to Hashem, V'el Elokai, and he was my God, he's there for me. Ekra Vishma, and Hashem heard me from his place. Koli, he heard my voice, he heard the urgency in my voice, Vishavati Ba'aznav, and it entered his ears. Now, so he's describing now, like, kind of the danger. Now he's describing Hashem's response. And it's very poetic or very interesting how he. It's always hard for us. Hashem has no appearance. So, how do you use words to describe Hashem, if Hashem you can't see. But he uses very colorful terms. He pictures Hashem. Let's see how he does it. Verse 8, Betigash Betirash Orts. Like he sees, like once Hashem his prayer was accepted, so the earth quakes and it shakes. Most of the Shemayim, and the heavens are like falling apart. They're angry. The Tigashu Kicharlo, like once Hashem determines that that David deserved to be saved, so the whole world is like shaking and thundering and angry. Olasha, like the smoke is coming out of his nostril. When a person starts breathing smoke, you know they're angry. You know, like that's he describes the smoke coming out. The Eish Mipiv Toem, and they're like hot coals. The person gets red hot. They're really angry. Yeah, they don't want to mess with the person when they're hot to trot. They're hot under the collar. So he's describing Hashem as like burning hot, right? Verse 10. But Yet Shemayim v'Yerid. And sometimes we see that Hashem doesn't like to get involved directly in our lives. Like he's way up there in the heavens, and you know we're kind of stuck down here in the mud in the earth. So he describes like Hashem like pulls the curtain aside. Right, verse 10. He like the Yet Shemayim. He like pulls the curtain aside. He bends the heavens. I think it means like whoops, I'm coming down there. And but he comes down. This is actually where we left off last week. He's riding on the cherub. That's like taking the quick jet, you know, taking the piyukav al kruv. I don't know. The cherub is like a form of an angel. And Hashem rides on the angel. The angels are described as very fast moving. There's the idea about an angel that they we sometimes are slow moving because we have things that try to prevent us from doing Hashem's will. An angel has nothing that prevents them from doing Hashem's will. So by nature, they're described as fast. Something really fast has wings. That moves really fast, like it just flies. Like we want to say, time goes quick, the time flies, right? So when they wanted to describe something that moved very quickly, we say the angels have wings. So, you know, they always have these pictures of the cherubs with the wings, but I don't think that's what it means. In other words, a cherub isn't a bird, you know, an angel isn't a bird with wings. But what it means is that they move, they don't have the resistance that we have. When it comes to do a mitzvah, we have resistance. I'm tired, I got things to do, it's hard to move fast. Whereas an angel, they fly, they move quickly. So Hashem gets on that first very quick angel, and he flies, because he's got to save David. Vayira al-Kanferu, and he rides the wind. That's very fast when you ride the wing. And so he's describing kind of Hashem coming down to earth. Yeah.
Therefore, is the description of the angels in the Ezekiel metaphorical?
Yes, absolutely.
And so they don't have wings.
Well, if they're invisible, but they have invisible wings. Whatever invisible wings look like.
The cherubim that were on top of the ark had wings.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
But the angels that appeared to Avraham appeared in human form. Right. Those mm-hmm. were nothing. They're
right.
And they came and went on their own time. I mean, they were there and then they were gone.
Mm-hmm.
But they were in human form. So,
that's right.
Abraham had to realize who they were.
Mm-hmm. That they might not realize who they were.
Or not realize
that's right.
That they could have been different types of angels.
Right.
Different mm-hmm. kinds of cherubim are just one type of angel, right?
Right, that's
there
right.
There are other mm-hmm. names for angels,
that's
too.
That's right.
Well, there are different degrees of angels, and each level...
Different names, too.
Yeah,
Ophanim.
Different names.
Cherubim.
Yeah, and they're all
Cherubim.
Capable of different things.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. 12. Now, here it describes Hashem like arranging the darkness. Some people say this refers to when we left Egypt. There was this big cloud that came down, and the Egyptians were trying to shoot arrows at us. And it was the, you know, kind of like in Eretz Yisrael, they're working on a missile shield, like an iron dome that will block the missiles from. So like Hashem puts a darkness, sometimes our enemies, they're shooting in the dark. So this is what Hashem, he places dark around them. He makes it so they can't see their way to harming us. And he describes it as the sukkos, which is very interesting, like the Hashem's divine presence, the chashus mayim aveshkakim, and he brings the waters and the clouds. Menoyga negdu ba'ar gak le'esh, and there's a burning fire of the coals. again, it's a challenge to really know what these things mean. He's trying to describe a picture of Hashem. Yireh min haShamayim Hashem, and Hashem like thunders from up high. But El Yonita, and he gives forth his voice. But Yishlach, and he sends out Kitzim, and Hashem like shoots arrows. But Yafitzim Barak v'Yamim, and he's lightning and arrows, and he gets the enemy discomforted. He gets them unable to fight. He panics the armies. Tessa Zion. The Yuafikayam, and when it almost like describes the waves of the ocean, like you know, moving along with it. He causes the seas to the waves. Yigalu Mostos Tevo, like the waters like split or open up. Igaros Hashem, in Hashem's anger, that if a person has ever been on a boat where the boat is being rocked by the waves, they really feel that the power of Hashem, like that we're just like we're so powerless to the huge power of being in the sea. And so he's kind of describing that here, that, you know, when Hashem's will is there, like we're all like being tossed at sea. We have like no you know, we're totally at Hashem's mercy.
Mm-hmm. Does it also mean that when Hashem sent his voice or when he spoke to Moshe, that's metaphorical? I mean, it says mm-hmm. clearly in the Torah, he responded with a voice. Is that just a way of explaining the communication between Moshe and God, or was it actually a voice?
I have a feeling there are different opinions on it. Because then you might ask, was it a masculine voice or was it a feminine voice, right? Right. Everybody wants to know. Like it's very interesting because with Shmuel, when he first got his first prophecy and he heard a voice, he thought it was his father calling him. You remember, like that was. Yeah. But Hashem didn't want to scare him. This was like the first time, and so he came to him in a voice that he would. And then we all know the prophet Eliyahu, where Hashem came to him, and it's also in there about the silent voice, or the soft voice, or the. So there, in certain cases, it sounds like Hashem is communicating in a voice, but it's even there's some debate about it.
So even when he speaks to Adam, where are you? It's
hard to know if it was speech in the way that we call speech.
No, but that's prose, and again, the Shira.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that in the Shirim, there are many more metaphors than in the prose sections of of Tanakh.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So that if it appears in a Shira, then
it's definitely a metaphor. Whereas in the regular part, maybe it's more direct. Okay, yeah, that's true. The other description he has is when a person is out at sea and he's having trouble staying afloat, and the waves keep on coming on top of him. It describes Hashem as like taking me out of these waters. And the metaphor is that sometimes when a person is out to sea and these waves come, and each wave is, he doesn't know if he's going to survive the wave, if he's going to be able to breathe, if he's going to be able to hold on. And in a certain way, life is described like that, where the different waves come across a person. Like a person is like holding on, is holding their own, and then all of a sudden this big wave just comes and, you know, splash. So we hope that we overcome the wave. So he describes Hashem as like pulling me out of the waters. Like in other words, life is in some ways we're on shaky ground. We're always facing the waves or the tests, and Hashem pulls me out every time I'm up. The water's up to my nose. The Medrash says that one of the reasons we do Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah is that when Avraham Avinu went to do the Akedah, there was a flash flood. In the desert, they have these flash floods where the water doesn't drain right away, and it goes up very high. And the water reached the point where it was up to his nose. And apparently, if it was any higher, he wouldn't have been able to make it. And so we go to the water to recall that he continued on to do the will of Hashem, even though it was very dangerous and it was very he almost didn't make it. But there's the idea that Hashem pulls us out of the water. He pulls us out when we're stuck. 18. He saved me from my enemy, from not just any enemy, but from a oz, like a strong enemy, like a tough enemy. Misonai, and sometimes you have an enemy, but it's nothing personal, you know, like that. It's a job, like whatever, certain people, but here, this was an enemy that hated me. It wasn't just an enemy, it's a sonai. Kiamsu, and it was an enemy that was stronger than me. So it's like a combination. Not only did he save me from his enemy, it was a tough enemy, and it was an enemy that hated him, and it was an enemy that could have defeated him. 19. These enemies, they got him. They were coming to get him. And v'hi Hashem mishan li, and Hashem was a support for me. Now, verse 20, v'yetze merchak osi. And it's almost like Hashem afterwards, he almost like made it up to me. He brought me out to a wide space. Not only did he save me from the trouble, but he actually, sometimes the Holocaust survivors talk about that not only were they saved from the war, many of them did very well after the war. In other words, they had unusual success. Mm-hmm. I mean, these were people that were not, they went through very difficult and challenging times. They were lucky that they were mentally able to keep on life as it was. They lost everything. And yet they came into the world, and they were from the most successful people around. Mm-hmm. They built up businesses and careers and families and institutions. It's really amazing when you think about it, you know, what these people went through. And today we're already after, you know, most of them are, but almost all of our institutions that we have were built up by people that had gone through that. And that's one of the stories in there too, where Mr. Rabinowitz talks about one of the Holocaust survivors he was friendly with. But Hashem takes a person out of his trouble, and he gives him lemerchav, like a wide open space. He gives him yechaseinu ki kavetz bi, and Hashem desires in me, Hashem wants me.
You know, he may be talking about that time that Shaul was surrounding him. Remember that they were each on the other side of a mountain, and all of a sudden David was able to flee to this open area. And
so some of the commentators try to do that. In other words, they try to figure out which expression referred to which thing. And some people, you know, you say it refers to the Jewish people, an event in the life of the Jewish people. But this verse, Hashem desires in me. Hashem wants each and every one of us to, each one of us was sent to, if we're alive, we're here for a reason, and we have something to contribute. And ki chafetz bi, Hashem wants me. Like sometimes, like I said, we give up and we think it's too late, and what's the use? No, Hashem wants me. Hashem looks to save me. Now, here, It sounds like, in some ways, we wouldn't necessarily talk this way, like, you know, it's because I deserved it. I was a good guy, you know, like that. But it says over here, like, Yigmaleini Hashem kisid kasi. Hashem paid me back because I had gone the extra 9 yards. I had tried to be righteous. I was, Hashem pays me back. When you do a good deed, it gets rewarded. Yigmaleini Hashem kisid kasi. Hashem pays me back for my righteousness. Kabor yadi heshivli. I kept clean hands, like I David was trying to do the right things. A person's motives are very important. We do, sometimes we have challenges, and so we seek to be good and to purify our motives, and then Hashem will be worthy that Hashem save us because we have tried to be honest and do the good and right thing. It really matters what a person is doing, and sometimes one's opponent doesn't have that purity of motive, and so I think that's what he wants to point out of here. Verse 22, Ki shamarti darchei Hashem. I was careful, David said. I guarded my ways. V'lo ushati melokai. I wasn't more wicked than God. Very interesting word. He says, my translation says, from the commandments of God. I don't know if yours says that too. But the Hebrew just says, "Velo v'shati melokai." I wasn't a rush to my God. Now, some people thought I was bad, but God knew the truth, that I really wasn't. Again, the things that David did, there were people that questioned his motives. Why he did the things he did, whether when he fought these battles, was that because he liked to fight, or was that because he was working for Hashem? And so, no, really, David was a very pure, very holy-minded person. And so he says that, no, I was not the, in God's book, then that's the one that counts, I wasn't a Rasha. Actually, that should give us, you know, can't say that I was a tzaddik, but I wasn't a Rasha. You know, in God's book, I wasn't so bad, right? I wasn't in God's book a Rasha. That's the verse 23. Ki kol mishpat lenegdi. Now the trick is to keep the laws in front of me, to try to follow the laws, the proper things. V'chukosav. Now the mishpat are the laws that we understand. And the chukosav are the statutes, the ones that we do. They're written in stone. We don't understand them. We wouldn't necessarily do them on our own, but they're a chok. God said to do them, so we do them. Lo asim, I didn't let them fall away from me. So even no matter what, he went through all kinds of situations, all kinds of different places, he kept the Torah. 24, v'ayyeh tamim lo. And I served them in a completeness. You really see that in the Tehillim that he says, the holiness or the completeness that he has. V'shtamra ma'avonai, and I guarded myself from sin. And 25, v'yeshev Hashem li k'tzidkasi, and Hashem paid me back. Tabori l'negedeina, in front of my eyes.
Rabbi, mm-hmm. How do we reckon this self-assessment of David's with the fact that he suffered his whole life because of Bathsheba? And because apparently Hashem considered that such a serious sin.
Well, there's punishment, but ultimately he survived and went on to live and to do atone for his sin. So there's temporary. David made mistakes, and he got punished for those mistakes, and he suffered for his mistakes. But on the other hand, he had a mission and a goal. He was the leader of the Jewish people, and so ultimately there were people that said that he had lost the kingship, that he had lost the right to rule over us, and ultimately Hashem proved that he was a righteous king and he was a good king, and he was justified in that. But it didn't it would explain though why he had some of the setbacks that he had.
I'm just want for the word may have owned him. So that may answer some questions. He doesn't say that he kept from wrongdoing. It says he kept himself from his
sin. Right.
Well,
it's very interesting.
His inclination maybe mm-hmm. to do wrong, he kept himself from that.
Right, right. Which is, in other words, it doesn't say he never made a mistake. It just mm-hmm. said that sometimes when a person knows if they have a certain challenge, let's say they drink too much, so they're careful not to take any drinks, or they're careful not to have it in the house, so they're guarding for their mistake. Mm-hmm. So he said I took steps, eshtamra, I guarded my sin. I took steps to make sure that I wouldn't make that mistake anymore. 25. Yeshiva Hashem li, because Hashem paid me back. Kaborlin in front of my. It became clear to everyone that he was paid back for his righteousness. Now here it describes an important concept that Hashem deals with us in the way we deal with Him, and many people say this as a strategy for the high holidays. You know the Chofetz Chaim mentions this. He says that. Even if a person, there's no person that's perfect, and everybody has shortcomings. But if a person is careful not to hear bad things about others, he doesn't listen to lashon hara. He doesn't want to. People want to tell him other people. He says, "I don't want to hear lashon hara." So even though they may have shortcomings, they'll be guaranteed that they'll be written and inscribed in the good book. Why? Because when the angels come to tell Hashem, you know, Hashem is making the accounting, should we give this guy another year? And they say, well, we got to tell you about what they've been up to. And so Hashem says, well, look, whenever someone tries to tell this person something bad about others, he says, I don't want to hear it. So Hashem says to those angels, I don't want to hear it. And there's a similar idea that there was a famous Hasidic Rebbe that would allow all kinds of people to come and sit at his table, and so he said that in the future I'm going to want to sit in Hashem's table. I want to get close. I want to get a front row seat in heaven, and I'm afraid they'll throw me out. They'll say I don't deserve to be here, and they'll know that my whole life I never threw anybody out of my table. I never told somebody you can't be here. So hopefully when I get there, they won't tell me I can't be there. And there is this idea that Hashem treats us in the way in which we deal with others. So im chassid, if we try to be pious, if we try to do extra, more than we have to, so then he'll do more than he has to with us. Tis chassid. If you're a very pious person, then he'll be extra pious with you. Im gibur, if you're strong, if you show a strength, here it doesn't mean physically strong, it means strong in your service of Hashem, tamim titamim. Hashem will be very strong with you, will be very good with you. Im naver tisper, if you're pure, he'll be pure with you. On the other hand, the imikesh, which is very interesting, if you're crooked, titapel, you'll get crooked back. Don't know what, in other words, the person is always taking shortcuts, is always, I don't have a good example, but Hashem deals with a person in the way in which you can't fool Hashem. If a person is always shortchanging Hashem, then when it comes around how he's treated, he'll be shortchanged also. 28. Ve'es am ani toshia. Very important rule. Hashem likes the humble. At the end of the day, that's one of the parts of the Yom Kippur service, is that it's an exercise in humility. You know, we talk about our mistakes and whatever we have to say. We're not denying our sins, we're not denying our shortcomings. If we at least do that, if we at least are humble, that finds favor in Hashem's eyes. Am aniya, humble people toshia. Hashem will save us if we're humble. If we say we deserve it, and why doesn't Hashem do this for us? That's not a prayer that we would. We come to Hashem with a tefillah l'ani. If you ever the Baal Musaf, when they get up before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there's this whole page that he sings. No, even before that, before they get up for Musaf, there's a long, slow prayer, and it's really about humble, like I'm standing in front of you, and you know, that's right, I'm not so worthy, and you know, please don't hold it against the people that I'm not what I could be, and you know, that's actually the part that he does quiet, because you're not supposed to confess in front of other people. In other words, it's very interesting, we don't believe that you tell your sins to another individual. You tell your sins to Hashem. We have confession, but we confess with the boss. We don't, no other person is, can no go-betweens, right. So,
if you want to ask someone's forgiveness, so you have to ask.
Yeah, that's the difference. That's because our sin,
That's our sin too. The
yes. Mm. There we need it, because in order for the person, we need to, if we've wronged a person, we have to make it up to them, and so then we need to. But in front of other people, when the chazan reaches those parts, he generally reads that quietly. Hashem looks to the humble. That's a prayer that he accepts. But on the people that are ramim, that are high and that are haughty, they get lowered down. And what's an amazing thing is that you still run into people that are arrogant, and it's almost like it's hard to understand. Like, how can a person be religious and still be arrogant? You know, like, or how, if you understand that that's not the way Hashem wants you to be. Like that, that's the, you know, Hashem cares about, you know, the. We're not supposed to look down at other people, and we're not supposed to want to lord over other people and be bossy and be a certain way. Hashem looks to the humble. That's the it says that arrogance, Hashem doesn't tolerate it. So it's here too. It's Baal Ramim Tashpil. People that are high up are going to get lowered down.
The Kofetz Chaim is always talking about how we don't want to seem self-righteous.
Right. 29. Ki ata ner, you're my light. You know, if everything would be dark without Hashem, when a person has light, they feel much better. They can see, they can, when it's in the dark, you trip over things, you don't know where you are, you feel unsure of yourself, and then when the light comes, you can see. Hashem is our light. Vashem yegiyah choshki, and Hashem lights up the darkness. With all the you know, there's a certain amount of uncertainty in life, but when a person feels the Hashem is with him, that takes away the uncertainty. That Hashem lights up the path. now he describes after he's realized that Hashem saved him and that Hashem was with him, it gave him a tremendous sense of power. Ki b'cha oretz gedud. He said, you know, David would take on a whole army. There'd be a whole army coming, and Hashem was on his side, and he would run straight into them single-handedly. With you, Hashem, I'll take on the army. I'll run a group. Be'elokai adalish, I'll jump over the wall. They'd have these walls, these huge walls, and the people would be behind the walls with weapons, and David and his men would jump over them into the enemy camp. And it takes a tremendous amount of bravery to jump over, because you don't know what's waiting for you when you jump over, if you're going to jump into boiling water or, you know, when that Israelis came onto that boat, you know, from the helicopter, and they were met by, you know, it was horrifying just to see, like, those poor soldiers were beaten, you know, like by, when a person jumps into something, you don't know what you're going to find. But David said, when Hashem was with me, with you, Hashem, I'll take on the army. I'll jump over the wall. 31. Hakel tamim darko. Hashem's ways are perfect. Imras Hashem srufa. The words of Hashem are sorif. This word, he says it's tried. I don't know what that means. It's tried. Srufa usually means it's the word they use when they take a metal and it has impurities in it, and they need to want to get the pure metal, they're sorif it. They put it, they burn it, and the impurities melt away. And what he's saying is that the words of Hashem, they purify us. They the challenges that we face, they seek to purify us. Maybe that's what this one English means here. The words of the Lord is tried. I'm not sure what he does.
And here it says flawless.
Flawless. Well, that's the first part. Tamim, tmimim is flawless. But then it says the words are flawless too.
The word of the Lord is pure. Is he promises and performs. So in other words, he lives up to his promises. Whatever he promises, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Here it says his way is perfect. The promise of Hashem is flawless.
I think I see what he's saying is that when you get... It's pure. In other words, like pure gold. I was telling you, this word srufa is used when you get the impurities away. It's like sometimes you're disappointed when you think something's pure and it's not. And he's saying the words of Hashem, they're srufa, they're pure. The impurities are already, there's no, sometimes you buy a box of something and you open it up and it's only half full, right? And it's half packaging and it's not pure. It's not what it, the words of Hashem, they're refined.
Mm-hmm.
They're pure. Muggenhu, and it's a shield for all those that trust in him. You just have to, you know, if you use the shield, it'll protect you. Ki mi kel ad Hashem, and what other power is there besides Hashem? What other thing do people put their faith in? Umi sur ma'ade akeven, and who's the rock like our Hashem? There are all kinds of things that people, you know, they believe in, and they're not worthy of a person's belief or their trust. Akel ma'uzi, Hashem is the real Uzi. The Uzi is that's the machine gun, but it means my strength. The chayav yatir tamim darko. Now, David, to take on the battles, many times he had to move very quickly. Mashba, right, he makes my feet like Haim. He helps me go very quickly. And I was able to travel on very high places. Sometimes it's a challenge to walk on high ground. He was able to run away quickly, and he was able to get to a safe spot. Milamda Yadu Limuchama, and Hashem like taught him how to fight. He didn't really know how to fight. Hashem sometimes gives us the tools that we need to do. There's the idea that when we face a challenge and we don't know where we get the strength to face that, Hashem gives us the energy or the tools to do what we need to do. Milamda Yadu Limuchama, Hashem teaches me how to fight. Vanachas Kesh Nechusha, and he helps me bend the bow. I guess a copper bow, it takes a lot of strength to move. He gives me a shield, and Hashem helps me with my humility, helps me do the right things. Tarkisani Tachteni, he allows me to have a strong step. He gives me, sometimes when we're fighting and you have a lot of heavy equipment, you could lose your step. There were many battles that were lost because the armor was so heavy that if they slipped, they couldn't get up, because it was just very awkward, and Hashem allowed him to be on strong footing, and his ankles didn't slip. Belamadi, I guess, like I said, some people, you know, ankles are a challenge. And I'll destroy them. Sometimes you do half a battle, you don't finish the job. Hashem allowed him to not only to fight and win his enemies, but he was able to finish the job. And he destroyed his enemies, and below Yikumun, and they wouldn't get up again. Sometimes you have one battle, and then you win it, and and you got to fight another one. No, Hashem allowed him that the enemies wouldn't get up. Yifu said that his enemies fell under his feet. Mem 40. And Hashem gave him the strength for war, and he held back those that wanted to fight against him. And the enemies were always turning around, were always running away. And Hashem helped him cut them off. Again, he could be describing many battles, or just the way this battle went. Yeshuv ein Moshiach. They called out, but Hashem didn't save them. El Hashem below Yan. Hashem, some of them were Jewish, were religious. They call out to Hashem, but Hashem didn't answer them. But He did answer me.
It's always that problem, you know, when you fight an enemy. Let's say the Muslims. I mean, they believe that they have one God, and they believe that they pray five times a day, and we only pray three times a day, and they say, you know, they're doing it for God, and
they're calling out to their God,
to the same God, you know,
right,
their way.
Right. 43. Eshkokem ka'afra arts, and he ground them like the dust. Ketit chutzo sadikem, he was able to destroy their weapons. Betalteni merivi ami. Now, sometimes you defeat the enemies, but then you got to deal with your own people. That's sometimes even harder. He says, Hashem, save me from the contentious ones amongst my people. Sometimes you go, you fight a war, you think they're going to praise you when you come home, and they give you trouble. He says, no, Hashem, save me from the merive ami, from the contentious ones amongst my people. Tishmeni l'rosh goyim am lo yedati. And you put me in front of a nation, people that didn't, other nations that had never known me came to serve me. Beneinecha yiskashuli. The sons of foreign ones, foreign nations came, and they offered their allegiance to him. L'shmoy ozen yishmuli, and they listened to what he said. 46. B'nei necha yivlu v'yikur miskrosam. He implies that the foreign people will put their energies and work. They'll put on their belt to serve David. In other words, they were foreign countries that offered their resources to the Jewish people to David. Chai Hashem uboy. This is actually one of the Zmiros uses these words here. In 47, Hashem lives uborok suri, and blessed is my rock. But you are my lokai, and I will exalt in him. Sur yishi, he's my rock and my savior. Kel nosin ekamosli, he allows me to take revenge against those that have come against me. Mori dami takteni, and the people's whole nations have been defeated. He's lifted me up amongst them. Mishka Masim Tai, and he saved me from violent people. Al Kain, and this is kind of how he finishes off. Al Kain Odecha Hashem Bagoyim. Hashem, I'll give thanks to you amongst all the nations. David, when he would meet with foreign ambassador, that he would tell them about Hashem. Amongst the Goyim, he would say, I'm so grateful to Hashem. Hashem has taken care of me, has been kind. L'shim Kazam, I'll sing your praises. 51, Migdol Yeshuos Malko, Hashem, he's like a tower to his king, and he's done kindness to his anointed one, to David, and to his children, Allah. May he continue to do that kindness to David and to his descendants forever. And I'm going to have to leave you in suspense, because here it says Migdol, and another place it says Magdil, and we actually change it in Menchik. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we say Migdol, and sometimes we say Magdil, and I probably don't have time to say the answer, so if you'll...
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the Donate link. Thank you very much.